Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Monday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. It is opening week of college baseball. We're going to be talking to you plenty about that in the week to come. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Former pitcher Chris Kirkland is in the studio with us. We'll be talking to him momentarily. Joe Healy is a writer for D1 Baseball. We've got a lot of questions to ask him as we count down to baseball season. And we'll also be reviewing basketball here in just a moment. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us. Bob Kelly and Andrew Abity all on the show today. Opening segment sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue. All right, well, a good week, good weekend, bad weekend for basketball. A good day for the ladies. It was senior day here in Hattiesburg, and Malia Grayson and Nyla Jean chipped in 14 points each to lead all scorers to a nice win over Ohio. The Golden Eagles, Lady Eagles, improved to 9-15, and they then celebrated Grayson, Jean, and Bree Sutton in a senior day celebration on the court. So let's start there, Andrew. A positive day for Lady Eagle basketball, and obviously for those seniors on the team, you like to see senior day end up the way that it did.
Yeah, especially for Malia Grayson, who's, you know, she's a Hattiesburg gal through and through. So good to see. Needed win, I just think, from a morale standpoint, especially coming off that frustrating Georgia Southern loss. But again, in the grand scheme, these Sun Belt MAC challenges really don't mean anything at this point.
Just for fun.
Honestly, yeah. I'm not a big fan of this MAC challenge thing. It's supposed to help the top two teams if they can try and create, you know, extra at-larges for the MAC and the Sun Belt down the road, but I don't think it's paid off at all. And to me, it seems like it's a waste of a trip in the middle of the conference schedule.
Well, it is the 50th anniversary of Lady Eagle basketball, and Wednesday we're going to have a really special guest, Shirley Jones Hill, the first lady to ever receive a basketball scholarship at Southern Miss. She's a very historic figure in Southern Miss basketball. I'm happy to say she's been a friend of mine for 40-plus years, and I know you think a lot of her too, Andrew.
Oh, Shirley's a character. I mean, if she's not on this whole show, she's a hoot, as the kids say.
Well, we'll look forward to having that. All right, Kelly Santer. Men fall 77-76 to Ball State. Three-point shot right at the end. All right, Andrew pointed that out to me, or it really been a four-point loss. So they've lost two games in a row, basically at the buzzer, so to speak, one on a closing game dunk, and this by 1 point. And the Golden Eagles fall to 10-15. Man, they've dug a big, big hole, and time is growing short on your chances of digging out of it.
Because you have to go to Arkansas State on Wednesday. Then you go to Monroe on Saturday. That's not the one that would scare me necessarily, is Monroe. But then Eagle fans say, well, but we got the last four at home. And yeah, that's true. But three out of those four games are against Louisiana, Troy, and South Al. Teams that you haven't done real well against, you know, when you were at their places. Now, Southern is a different team at home. Statistically, they are. And because the Sun Belt is, shall we say, mired in mediocrity, they're still very mathematically alive, very much mathematically alive to grab that two spot. But it's go time. I mean, and there's There's no other way to put it. It's go. You do it now, or it's not going to happen.
All right. Andrew, can you put your finger on what's happened to this team?
I think inconsistency would be the key point, and if I could put the finger on it, I'm sure I'd be on the coaching staff, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Kelly pretty much hit the nail on the head. It's go time. They have every opportunity because you're playing three of the top four teams in the standings in this final stretch. They're only three games back from the two seed. So, you know, you have every chance to get the bye still. Like, your season is still there, but really? They're going to have to pull a big win off of Arkansas State. And I don't see it happening.
Well, you know, on a positive side, guys, and Kelly, I'll throw this to you. I mean, they were basically two shots away from going 2-0 on the road.
Yeah, if you really want to stretch optimism, yeah, you could say that, because no matter where you're playing, it's tough to win on the road. But they are only three games out of first. But that just goes back to the point we talked about earlier, that the league is just not good. I mean, let's just be honest. Not in basketball, anyway. And Arkansas State will still wind up being the big kahuna. They'll wind up going into the tournament most likely the number one seed. But the number one seeds have not had a lot of luck, you know, holding that spot, you know, at the conference tournament. So, man, it's still anybody's game, although you can expect no higher than probably a 15 or a 16 seed for the one team in the tournament.
It would not surprise me one bit if the Sun Belt was that conference that got a losing team into the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's just how not good the conference is.
So you think if Arkansas State, let's say, got upset by a team with a losing record and that team won the tournament, Arkansas State would be left out?
I have to look at their ratings. I don't know them off the top of my head, but I think, yeah. I think the only thing that would save them is that win over Memphis, who is playing very well. But if that wasn't on their resume, I'd say absolutely not.
Hmm. I agree. It's more than ever, it's a one-team league.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get back to Southern Miss, obviously. But I've been waiting to ask you this question, Andrew, because you cover sports for a living. I didn't have a horse in the race yesterday, and in all honesty, didn't see a lot of the game, some of it, but I didn't focus on it that hard. But I did take away this. In the era of transfer portals and NIL money and all of that, and you made a comment to me the other day that you don't really pay a whole lot of attention anymore to high school signees because they're not here a year. A kid like Jalen Hurts, who had to be embarrassed when he was – the quarterback for Alabama, and suddenly is set on the bench in the national championship run, but doesn't say anything, doesn't quit, transfers to Oklahoma. Everybody says he's not good enough to play in the NFL. He's got a Super Bowl ring now. Is Jalen Hurts not a great example for young people?
Great story. I loved Jalen Hurts when he was at Alabama. I never understood the people saying that he wasn't going to be an NFL guy, because he was incredible in the pocket just as much with his legs. But incredible story, especially when he had to come in that SEC championship game. And, you know, he could have put Saban and everybody in the spotlight, and he handled it. Graduated from Alabama. Everybody kind of forgets about that. Sure, went to Oklahoma for a year, raised his draft stock.
He had gotten his degree.
Yeah, he got his degree from Alabama. So, you know, that's a guy who, like, handled the circumstances the best way possible in a generation that is very about me, is quite the opposite. Even handled the Super Bowl loss a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys. How do you not like him? That's one of the ones for me.
I agree, Kelly. Refreshing to see a kid like that rewarded. And I'm not an Eagles fan, but I am a fan of his, and I was happy for him last night.
He didn't have any canned answers, too, in the post-game interview. I mean, really spoke from the heart. You know, said, this is a lot to digest. This is a lot to take in. I want to take it in. But a guy is only as good as the people around him. You know, you can tell that this is a guy of faith, which is refreshing. Of course, the Sirianni, the head coach, was also a man of faith. So I know a lot of people aren't big fans of the city of Philadelphia or the fans of Philadelphia. But and look, I was as stunned as anybody. Philadelphia, that yesterday that they put on Kansas City was an ass whipping. Yeah. There's just no two ways about it. Yeah. And I was stunned, because Kansas, all the officiating calls and all that kind of stuff aside, Kansas City's a really good team. And for Philadelphia to go in there yesterday, and the Chiefs, Andrew and I were talking about this before the show, Chiefs might have been smelling themselves a little bit. Might have gotten a little bit too big for their britches, as they say down here. But, man, what a game the Eagles played.
Well, I'll tell you what, who's got big britches, Andrew, is the offensive line of Philadelphia. 6'6", 338 pounds, I saw, was the average height and weight of their offensive line.
I was impressed by their defensive line.
Their defensive line
all of those guys
are,
and you don't want to get caught in an alley, because I mean Patrick Mahomes was running for his life all night. I mean,
no question, the
Eagles, I mean, they schemed Kansas perfectly. Yeah. And they played, I thought they had the better roster. I thought they would win. I didn't think like that. Right. I mean, they dominated the Chiefs in every aspect.
The domination, Kelly, of the Chiefs' offensive line was something to behold. Philadelphia owned them.
Well, as a Bengals fan, I can talk a little bit about weak offensive lines.
You better not have one against a team like Philadelphia.
Like a lawyer, when you need one, you better get a good one, you know,
Well, congratulations to Jalen Hurts. I mean, I just think there were a lot of USM connections to the KC roster, obviously, and really, really proud to see Swayze Bozeman out there playing special teams for the Chiefs. That was cool, but Philadelphia, best football team in the country right now.
And I thought the city of New Orleans did a really good job of putting its best foot forward.
John Baptiste with a beautiful rendition of the national anthem. That was really good. All right, when we come back, we've got a man in the studio who knows a lot about what's going on in the minds of Southern Miss baseball players right now, Chris Kirkland. He was there, and he's here. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank Dickie's Barbecue for that opening segment of our program. Great place to have dinner. Great place to cater this weekend. If you're going to go to baseball and you want some delicious food, try Dickie's. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. Miss Kathleen is down there with all the baseball apparel you could ever want to wear, and she's the greatest lady in the land. So be sure you tell Miss Kathleen at Campus Bookmart. The guys from Super Talk Eagle Hour said hello. We've got a national championship coach in the studio with us here, and a Golden Eagle doesn't get much better than Chris Kirkland, who won the national championship as the head baseball coach at Jones College in 2016, was the director of player ops for Southern Miss in their World Series year, played for the legendary Corky Palmer. I'm hoping he's got at least one good Corky Palmer story. Welcome, man. We're glad to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Happy to be here.
I do want to talk to you, obviously, about a national championship trophy. That's pretty cool. But give me an idea right now. We're just 4 or 5 days away from the opening of baseball season. What's running through the minds of these kids right now?
There's typically a big time in which you're 1 week away from the first game of the season. You're sick of playing your own teammates at practice, and you're ready to see a different uniform to play against. So I think that's what the Golden Eagle players are thinking right now. We're ready to line it up against another team, another uniform in the other dugout. Tired of inter-squadding, ready to cut loose and see the fans pour into the stadium.
killer schedule, but every kid that I've talked to says they embrace that. Are they saying that because that's what you're supposed to say, or do you think the program has reached a level where they do truly, and I think this is the answer, but they truly feel like they can go anywhere in America and play?
Sure, and I think that's been the identity of the program for more than a decade. Certainly the last 20 years, you see a program that'll go travel to other big time programs and stadiums. But really, when Coach Berry started designing that schedule, when he took the head job, I guess that was 2010, you saw the non-conference schedule being very important to build that RPI. And when the Conference USA started to change a little bit, and you saw the natural RPI boosters maybe disappearing off the conference schedule, it's really important for Southern Miss to build that non-conference schedule with quality opponents. And it's really worked for the program to be able to put together a resume for the postseason.
I want to ask you, get kind of your insight a little bit from the coaching perspective of, you mentioned you get tired of the inner squads. You know, at this point in the year, obviously the hitters have pretty much all the pitchers figured out. The pitchers know it. You as a coach, how did you go about deciding things at this point? Because Southern Miss has several ongoing position battles, probably going to go into the season. But how did you try and assess that at this point in the year?
Sure. You kind of have an idea going into spring practice based on what you saw in the fall. But there's so many changes that occur between the end of fall practice and the start of spring practice. Really, when you talk about newcomers like transfers and true freshmen, those are the guys that gain the most ground because now they're a lot more comfortable, and that mental side of their performance is at ease, and they're able to kind of gain a lot more ground when the springtime starts because they're a lot more comfortable than they were in the fall. But as a coach, you watch those inner squads, and really and truly, you want to see the pitchers dominate because the pitchers, if the pitchers are up there doing what they're supposed to do and putting zeros on the board, you feel a little bit more confident. But it's been funny. The more and more games you play and you get to that third or fourth week of scrimmaging each other, the bats really start to show up. And the bats start, like you said, Andrew, figuring out those arms.
Yeah, there were a lot of home runs this weekend. And, of course, it was ideal conditions for home runs, but I think there was like probably by the end of the weekend, 12 or 13.
Heard a lot of chatter around Hattiesburg about the offense really showing up these last 2 weeks, and I think that's a good progression.
Okay, well, there you go. I got asked a couple times on Twitter, should we be panicked about the pitching, or should we be feeling good about the bats? And I was just like, hey, it's late in the inner squads. It's kind of what you expect.
You know, in a very general sense, this team really is almost the opposite maybe of last year going into the season. There were a lot of unproven bats on the roster going into last spring. Well, this spring's a lot different. You talk about bringing back a Russo at first base who was relatively new to the lineup last year, an Ozzie Pratt who had a full season in black and gold. Monastir's back. People forget last year that was his second full season. You'd think he's been around for a lot longer.
Yeah.
There's some questions to be answered at third base, but look at what's going on behind the dish. The Odom kid shows up. Lawson Odom, as a true freshman, would get emotional at times last year, but I watched him ride the waves and figure out Division I baseball. I think we're going to see him hit for average this year and really run the show behind the plate to a higher degree. And Stockman's back as well to be able to split games. And then it sounds like there's a new surprise out in center field with Jake Cook kind of coming on strong these last couple weeks. Andrew, I'm sure you've seen him some in the inner squad.
That outfield, and I'm talking about everybody, is good. Joey Urban is good. I'm planning to write who I think will start on opening day, and I don't know, and it's more so because they have so many good options. Jake Cook has been killing it lately, and he gives them speed, something they don't really have in the lineup. Ben Higdon needs to be in there. Pato's a sure thing, of course, but you know, Davis Gillespie returns left fielder. You're going to put him in the DH spot. I mean, there are so many options that they can do, and I don't know what the best answer is, but there's a lot of good answers. And then at third base, Seth Smith or Dre Barrett has been very impressive for a freshman. So I've been scratching my head the last 72 hours of what I'm going to write, and I might just do like, here's what I think they're going to do, and then here's what I think they should do.
Well, a lot of momentum behind that Barrett kid at third, and wow, showing up as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. What is he, 210 pounds?
He's a big
one. 6'2", and then you have Gillespie back. he was him and McIntyre. Gillespie and McIntyre were a deer in headlights for the first two weeks of the season in 2024 and ended up putting together two of the best seasons for guys who are freshmen on paper. And to know that you have that guy coming back in the middle of your lineup is pretty exciting.
All right, so I'm going to put you on a spot. You guys are talking about all this talent on the baseball team. You're the director of player ops when they go to Omaha. More talent on the team now than there was then. Is that fair to say?
I'd say much deeper, much more physical. Back in 2009, you know, you had some ball players and you had some real experience on that team in 2009, and that carries a long way. You know, but you look at these guys. I was talking to Brian Dozier last week who went and watched – him and James McMahon and their families went and watched an inner squad, and they come back saying, man, those guys are big. Those guys are strong.
It's noticeable how big they are. Yeah.
And I think that that's something that the team flipped the script on going into 2025. Great strength and conditioning program and the weight room right behind the dugout. Those are some things that the 2009 Eagles didn't
have.
That
Dozier guy, did he ever amount to much, Andrew?
I'd say so. He had a pretty good career, I think.
I always used to say back then when we were in college, I knew Brian Dozier was going to get to the big leagues and hit 42 home runs and be an all-star and do all the things that he did. You noticed that when he was wearing that Golden Eagle uniform.
And a wonderful, most humble guy you'll ever meet in your life.
Oh, he truly is.
To have accomplished everything he's accomplished. All right, I don't want to run out of time before we talk about this. National championship at Jones College, man. The first junior college to ever win that, is that right?
In the state of Mississippi, that's right. That's something we're very proud of. Christian Ostrander gave me a position on his staff in the fall of 2009 after leaving Southern Miss. And Coach Palmer shook my hand and said, good luck, boy. You're going to go get it done. And Coach Ostrander sat down with me and we hit it off and got to – actually join a staff that had a Reggie Richardson on the staff whose son is now a freshman arm for Coach Ostrander on this 2025 Eagles team, Cole Richardson from South Jones. But some great days at Jones, some great people, and went over there, did a lot of winning as an assistant under Coach Ostrander, and then got the head coaching job going into the 2016 season and kept that thing going.
So you're an Oz fan.
Big time. He's the godfather of my firstborn son and one of my closest friends. And
I got to ask you this before we run out of time. I want you to tell me if this sounds realistic to you. This is my favorite Corky Palmer story that a former player gave me. He's pitching. He's not pitching well. Team's hitting him really hard. Coach Palmer wanders out to the mound, and the kid says, Coach, I'm not tired. I'm feeling good. And Coach Palmer goes, son, I'm sure you're not tired. But look around you. The outfielders are worn out from chasing down all the line drives. Does that sound like Corky Palmer?
Coach Palmer would tell you how it is, and he wouldn't mince any words. So
I left out one part of that he emphasized, the tired.
Those were the times he'd get on the bus and chew us out, and he may say some choice words, and he'd always turn to our team chaplain, Lloyd Lunsford, and say, sorry, Lloyd, and then just continue on with the chewing.
And then go right back to it, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, congratulations, man. That's I know you have to be very proud of that, as you should be. And we're always proud to hear when a Golden Eagle baseball player does so well after his career is over, man. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. This was a special place, is a special place. That's why I make it my home today. And I love rooting on Coach Ostrander, Travis Creel, and Ladd Rhodes. Two guys who coached with us at Jones as well and did such a great job. I'm so happy to see them succeed.
Fire Creel. Have you ever heard that?
It's such a shame. It's a bunch of jokesters out there that must not understand baseball. He's as good as they come, and you'll see again this year when they do what they do.
We are blessed to have Travis Creel here. That's what I would say.
He's as good as they come. Just look at the numbers. They don't lie.
Hey, Chris, thanks very much, man.
Thanks for having
me. Great to have you in the studio. When we come back, Joe Healy writes for D1, and we're going to ask him why we're not in that dadgum preseason poll. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Chris Kirtland for joining us. I got to be honest with you guys. I knew he was a former pitcher. I had no idea he was a national championship junior college coach till you told me. That's quite impressive.
And I don't know, you know, it's a shame he's not in the business anymore, but I totally get it. You know, got a family now and wants to be there for the kids.
We appreciate Chris coming in and enjoyed that conversation. Joe Healy writes for D1 Baseball, which all of us that love college baseball follow. And Joe, I was glad to hear what you said off the air when I was talking to you, and I'm reminded you, of course you knew, how passionate South Mississippi is about their Golden Eagles. And you said you always like to talk in areas where people appreciate the great sport of college baseball.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you don't get that everywhere, and that's not a knock on folks. You know, every region has their favorite sports, but yeah, you do some radio this time of year, and you know, sometimes, and it's okay, but sometimes I have to do a lot of explaining how college baseball works to folks, and I know with your audience, that's not going to be the case. So that's great. Mm-hmm.
We have a very humble, quiet
what
fan base. I'm sure you would agree with that, Joe, right?
yeah, that's may not be how I would describe it, but certainly passionate.
Yeah.
Certainly. Which, look, passionate, and that is not a knock. I will take passionate, you know, and then sometimes they're going to give you a hard time if they don't like what you're doing. I would prefer that over apathy any day of the week.
Joe, first off, thanks for coming on. I wanted to ask you about, you know, there was a podcast a couple weeks ago of the Outside the Top 25, the D1 Baseball podcast, which everybody should go listen to. And there's a clip of you kind of making a case for Southern Miss to maybe be in the top 25. And I just kind of want your outlook of what you think Southern Miss is capable of this year, especially with their, I guess you could say, very RPI-driven schedule.
Yeah. And the first thing I'll say is, like, these top 25 deliberations are so tough, especially early in the season, because so much of it is stab in the dark. And nobody, you know, I know folks listening to your show don't necessarily want to hear it, but, you know, Southern Miss was team 26 or 27, you know, and that's just tough. And had we not wanted to rank Troy because we think that team's really good, maybe you flip-flop that. But I don't think there's any reason to think this is going to be any different than what Southern Miss has been. And I think the argument I made on the podcast, although I do so much talking these days, I forget what I've said where. But, you know, I think for me, the thing that stands out is when I've talked to people, let's just say around that program and what have you, is when they talk about the things they like about their team, they start with the experience on the position player group. And, hey, we were kind of young and inexperienced last year. We took some lumps. We like that group a little bit more this time around. And if you're telling me this team that pitches well every single year without fail, if you're telling me that what you like most is the position player group and that maybe there's some stuff to sort out on the mound, that makes me optimistic because I have a high level of confidence. I don't know exactly how it's going to look. I don't know exactly who all the names will be in the different roles. We can talk a little bit about that. But I'm going to have a lot of confidence, though, that they're going to figure out the pitching side of it, especially by the time May rolls around. So, because typically it's the opposite problem. I don't need to tell you guys that, but it's like, you know, we pitch it great, but sometimes scoring runs is trying to get water out of a stone. And, you know, if that's going to be the opposite situation, at least early on this year, I'm pretty bullish.
On the flip side of that, or I guess more of a broader spectrum of it, the Sun Belt as a whole seems like it's going to be a very tough league. I'd argue maybe even five or six teams could win it. I know you guys are high on Troy. Can you kind of talk about, I guess, a little bit about Troy, but also just what's kind of your take on the Sun Belt as a whole heading into this season?
Yeah, I think Troy and where the Sun Belt is as a whole right now are a little bit part and parcel of each other. And by that, I mean, I think the Sun Belt's done a really nice job of looking around at the landscape of college baseball and saying, hey, the American is not as deep as it used to be, and the Sun Belt's part of that with poaching and what have you. But Conference USA isn't what it used to be. The Big West isn't what it used to be in terms of college baseball. And the Big Ten, I mean, you know, I don't know how to judge that because half the teams are really engaged and the other half really aren't. And so you have good teams, but it's not a deep conference. So the Sun Belt's kind of looking around saying, okay, with the Pac-12 gone, you've got SEC, ACC, Big 12, but we're right there. And so I think as a conference, they've done a really good job just kind of latching onto that and saying, why can't we be seen as a power conference? And, you know, I think there's some strides to make with the depth of the league. I think that's just going to be the case whenever you have 14 members or whatever it is. Like, that's just going to have to be part of it. And so the reason I say Troy and that are part and parcel is Troy has kind of said, look, we're going to invest in our program. Like, we're maybe not an SEC program, but something just short of that. They've got new facility renovations that are coming and are done. They recruit velocity. They recruit physicality at the plate. They recruit guys who are prospects. Like, they're not afraid to lose guys to the draft. They're not afraid to have an SEC team come in and recruit over them and take somebody from their class. They just realize that, hey, if we're going to be in the big time here, those are just things that are going to happen. And so I think there's a group of teams in this conference. USM is certainly part of it. Troy, the Raging Cajuns, Coastal, Georgia Southern to some degree. There is a group of teams in this conference that are like, look, we are going to operate right now as a power team in a power conference until, you know, because there's no reason why we can't, because so much of the other parts of college baseball have kind of, unfortunately, because I love college baseball, have eroded away a little bit. The Sun Belt has taken advantage of that opportunity.
Joe, so much at the beginning of the season, people, you know, with a brain don't really get too offended about because a game hasn't been played yet. But as the season goes on and you continue to re-rank these teams, of the different ingredients that go into this ratings recipe, where does record come into play? Because obviously there are some teams like Southern Miss that have a really good schedule and some schools have a much softer schedule.
Totally true, and it's one of the things that's really hard, at least until we get into conference play, right? Because in conference play, you can at least compare the teams from that league to each other to some degree once you get, you know, 9, 12, 15 conference games deep. But yeah, it's tough early in the season, and so we do take into account, you know, I think we do a pretty good job of looking at teams, and I'm trying to come up with an example off the top of my head, but I can, of teams that, you know, have a largely a cupcake schedule, and they run out to like a 21-2 start or something like that, but there's no wins over teams we think are going to be regional teams. And at some point, look, I mean, if you're, you know, roll up 30-some-odd wins, that at some point we have to acknowledge that. But we do put a lot of emphasis on schedule strength, and we typically, because of the way college baseball is set up, where it's weekend series, we're not going to knock a team too much if they lose a game. So, you know, you got a tough series against TCU in the non-conference, right? It's on the road. But, you know, we're not going to knock Southern Miss if we think they're the better team. And, like, you know, me personally, I think they might be. We're not going to knock Southern Miss because, hey, you didn't sweep. Well, they won a series. So we're going to consider that, moving that up. Same thing with UNCW at home. That's maybe a better example because it's a home series. UNCW is a good program. They're very similar to Southern Miss in terms of we care about baseball, we invest in baseball, we're in regionals all the time. They don't have the high highs Southern Miss has had, but if Southern Miss wins 2 or 3 and, hey, one day we got because UNCW has a potential first-round pick in its lineup named Tanner Thatch and he hit 2 home runs, that's life. And we're not going to knock USM because they didn't sweep UNCW. So I think there's more to be gained by playing a schedule like this, because in college baseball, you're going to play 56 games. You're going to lose games. This is not, you know, college football in the 14 playoff era where you lose a game early and you start to get nervous about whether or not you can get back into position. This is a different deal, and I like that Southern Miss embraces that, hey, we're going to lose some games, but we're going to be a lot better at the end of the season than we are at the start.
Because of NIL, the transfer portal, and now some potential eligibility rule changes, a lot of coaches across the country think that the big winner in this deal is going to be the junior colleges. What do you guys expect to see, and how soon, if those coaches are true, would you expect to see much better junior college teams top to bottom?
I think that could be, and obviously that matters to a school like Southern Miss, given how strong the Mississippi JUCO ranks are. You'd have access to a lot of players there if they do get better. I don't know how the whole JUCO piece of it, let's call it the Diego Pavia rule, I actually don't have a good feel. I don't think anybody does on whether or not that's going to be a thing moving forward. Because it's one of those things where obviously they've ruled in favor right now of Diego Pavia, and that's had knock-on effects. But I think anybody with like a sense of logic about college athletics, it's a hard argument to make that those JUCO years, which have counted forever, this is not a COVID thing where it's like, well, that was a one-off that's probably never going to happen again. JUCO seasons have counted forever. So on what grounds do they not count, right? And that's the crux of the argument, and I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to make it. But I just don't know how that's going to go. Now, the rest of it, though, I think with NIL and the transfer portal and things like that, I do think that there is some element of that being a double-edged sword for junior college programs, because I think there's not as much reasoning. If you're someone who starts off at an SEC school and you just can't hack it, or you realize, hey, I'm not, this is not the right place for me, you know, it used to be, okay, you drop down to a JUCO, you pop back up to SEC. But now, just to use an example, like I know Southern Miss is not a big portal school, but let's just say, for example, you know, guy comes down from the SEC and he's like, well, I could go to JUCO, but Southern Miss wants me, and that's a good program. They win a bunch of games. Why don't I just do that? And then if I'm good enough, like nothing's stopping me from going back to the SEC, even though that would, you know, people don't like that, but that's the reality of it. So I think this is not your original question, but I think programs like Southern Miss or let's East Carolina, you know, places like that are actually set up fairly well because baseball's a cheap date. Like it doesn't take that much investment to make a difference in baseball, whether it's in the NIL space or just the increasing scholarships. You know, it doesn't cost as much as it does to get other sports up and running like that. So if you're invested in baseball, I think you're going to be ahead of the game a little bit. So I think that from at least this standpoint, schools in the Sun Belt are pretty well set up for it.
Hey, Joe, we really appreciate you coming on the show, man. We'll be calling on you more throughout the year if you can come back, and we appreciate all that D1 does for college baseball.
Yeah, happy to do it, fellas. Talk to you later.
All right, Joe Healy, everybody. D1 Baseball. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I want to thank Joe Healy from D1 Baseball. Also, Chris Kirtland from former Southern Miss baseball player and national championship junior college coach. Really appreciate those guys. Hey, don't forget about our podcast. Lots of you do every day. We appreciate you. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank the Pine Belt News for letting us get a piece of Andrew Abbedy. And we're so happy to have him on the show. The Lamar Times, the Pedal News, the Hattiesburg Post, a big online presence too, Andrew, with HubCitySpokes.com. You guys cover a whole spectrum of everything from news, sports, social news, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, Forest and Lamar County. We got 11 high schools, 4 colleges, Cary, Pearl River, Southern, Jones as well. So there's no shortage of things to go find us. Of course, we've got Signature Magazine as well that people really like. That's under our umbrella as well. And then our Pine Belt Sports Baseball Preview Magazine will be coming out this week. So be on the lookout.
We appreciate them letting us share your time.
The IRS, I understand, wants a piece of Andrew Abbedy, too.
So. Well, now that he's on this show, he has a tax problem.
I'll tell you what. They need to find that money. I don't know where that money's going.
Well, leave it to Doge, right? Yeah. They might find
Give
it.
Give Elon time. He'll find your money for it. All right, Andrew, not a great weekend for softball. We had the coach on last week, and you pointed out what a difficult opening schedule that they did beat Marshall, but the nationally ranked teams were a little much.
Yeah, in some ways, I saw good and bad. I was really disappointed. Outside of Jana League, who's their stud pitcher back from last year, she was incredible. In every game she pitched in, she helped them beat Marshall. She took Northwestern, who is the equivalent of Southern Miss in the softball world, Southern Miss baseball, that is. To the wire. They lost 2-1 in the top of the seventh. She, you know, every game she pitched in, she was great. I was honestly optimistic with the hitting. I saw good things. I think they're still got a lot to figure out with the lineup, especially the batting order. Truthfully, though, I was really disappointed in the rest of the pitching. I thought it would have been a lot better. I know they're seeing really good lineups, and it's going to be hard to gauge them from playing four basically top 25-ish teams. And they got Ole Miss this week.
But there's a perfect example of what I was talking to Joe about with D1 baseball. You got some of these teams that'll start out, you know, 15-3, and everybody go, "Oh man, we're great." Well, they haven't played anybody, and you'd have a team like Southern Miss softball, for example, who might be 1-4 already at mm-hmm. this point, but they've played great teams.
Right.
So is the 1-4 team really worse than the team that's 15-2 when the 15-2 team hasn't played anybody?
Probably not.
It's a tough thing to deal with.
It's also hard because I think the talent, again, is there. Again, I was disappointed in the pitching, but I liked what I saw from the lineup. I think the lineup, I think they held their own. They were putting up 6-7 hits in just about every game early on. So that looks good to me. I just think they need to figure out the pitching rotation. I do think they got to do a better job of figuring out the batting order because it was the bottom of the lineup producing, not the top. So I think they got to move some things around. But I kind of, you know, it's kind of what you expected from this kind of thing. And, you know I keep saying they're going to play Ole Miss. They're an NCAA tournament team. But they were 31-27 last year. And they were, I think, the last team to get into the NCAA tournament. So I'm calling this a winnable game.
And what is that?
This is Wednesday.
Wednesday night. All right, real quickly, a couple minutes left. We're talking a lot about the baseball schedule, how tough it is. Lafayette this weekend, that's got to be seen on paper as a dress rehearsal tune-up for the Golden Eagles, correct?
For sure, and it's four-game series, too. So you got a doubleheader. And I keep trying to do a projection of the lineup, but I think we're going to see a lot of different lineup variations with all the position battles. I think that has to be the plan. Pitching rotation is kind of going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. But they should not, on paper, present much of a challenge for this baseball team.
I think they only won 14 games last year. So, yeah, this should be their one.
But what was the team last year? Marist?
Marist, that's right.
Marist beat us one game?
The Red Foxes.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to go play them, right?
Yeah, for sure. You really can't lose these games with how hard the schedule is. I mean, you need to win them. You're expected to win them. You know, in the grand scheme, though, you got to win at least three. You know,
and then things will change Tuesday night because the competition level will step way up
drastically.
But yeah. Keep us in mind because a special 2-hour edition live from Pete Taylor Park on Friday, Bob.
Yes, we've already confirmed Scott Berry. I'm working on the lineup. I'm actually going to go back there and work on it when the show's over. We'll have a great lineup for you, and we'll be there from 1 to 3, and we're going to have T-shirts and tickets and all kinds of stuff.
Did you get Coach Denson his gizzards?
I'm ordering them. Oh, okay. Special order for Hill. And much like going to lunch with you, I'll be picking up the tab.
Well, of course.
There's no question about
that. I just have a bad memory when it comes to my wallet, Bob, when it comes to going out to lunch.
Word of advice, and I should have warned you this when you first started, don't take him to lunch.
Oh, it's crazy because I forget my wallet a lot when I go to lunch with people, too.
Oh, well, hell, you're going to fit in just perfectly here, Andrew.
And you're going to be a lot poorer, Bob.
Well, Steve Davenport will just have to reimburse me, right? He's pretty good about that.
Good.
All right, we've got great shows lined up all week. We've still got Ozzie Pratt we're going to bring on the show. We've got Shirley Hill Jones. We think we're going to have another D1 writer on the show later this week. Lots to come. We hope you'll be here every day. Until then, tomorrow, I should say, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.